You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Hour number three is live with you in Studio 34 alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson and Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Changes abound in Carolina, Corey, as Mike Shula and Ken Dorsey are out, and the big rumor is Norv Turner's coming in.
Yeah, Norvell Turner. We've seen him around before, obviously going back to the glory days with America's team, some work with the San Diego Chargers, most recently with the Minnesota Vikings. He is one of the best offensive minds out there. I know a lot of people don't like these rehires and these older coaches to come back in, but I do think Norv Turner still has some gas left in the tank.
He believes Norv Turner's got gas left in the tank at 65 years old. He'll be able to do enough with Cam Newton and this offense to get better. The rumor after firing Ron Rivera's offense coordinator and quarterbacks coach was that ultimately they needed to be more creative with the passing game. They needed to be better with the running game. It was too much Cam being Cam.
I think it's still going to be Cam being Cam. I don't care who the offensive coordinator is. But, I mean, how much more creative could they be with this with the passing game when your really only receiver is Devin Funchess?
Absolutely.
He's not known to be the most dynamic receiver. He had a very good year, and shout out to him. But, you know, you got to use the one thing we spoke earlier is you'll know the guys that should get the ball for the most part.
The Carolina Panthers definitely need an influx in talent at both the running back and wide receiver position to go along with Devin Funchess to help out Christian McCaffrey. They need talent. That's going to be on interim GM Marty Herney, who was the GM before Dave Gettleman got his job back. And now Ron Rivera has a ton of power with Jerry Richardson trying to sell this team.
Yeah, so obviously he's the head honcho right now in that Carolina Panther organization. So this is a move he felt needed to be made. Maybe can make his job a little bit safer, get that offense rolling in the right direction, specifically that passing game. I still think Chris McCaffrey needs to be a better between the tackle run. I think that's going to be paramount to the development of the Carolina Panthers moving forward.
The Carolina Panthers only really fell to the Saints all year long. Three losses.
Only team that could beat them.
Three losses to New Orleans, and that unfortunately cost two people their jobs. We'll see how much better they can get. And it looks like, Matt, they made this move in case Steve Wilks gets hired somewhere and wanted to bring Norv Turner in with him.
Yeah, they're, like, trying to block him. I get it. I mean, look, Norv Turner, I'm not going to kill it. I'm not super excited about it. And look, the Panthers will be as good as Cam Newton is as good as the Panthers will be next year.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
And that's kind of how it's been every year. When Cam Newton is consistent, when Cam Newton is Cam Newton, they have the ability to be very, very successful. It's just how good can he be? How healthy can he remain? They even said that his shoulder never really got to 100%, Core.
Well, you always hear stories like this in the offseason when things come to an end. But his shoulder's in better shape than Andrew Luck's.
That is for sure. He is a football player.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck still is not.
Andrew Luck is a world traveler.
Yes, he is. We'll take a break here. When we come back, we'll get into a little bit more NBA. A couple more games from last night I want to talk about. Also want to preview some games for tonight and see what we can find out. A little DFS purposes early on. We'll come back. Let's talk about Shabazz Napier, Russell Westbrook, the Thunder, and the Blazers. That's up next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
NBA here. as the Blazers defeated OKC on the road last night, 117-106. And the crazy thing about the Blazers, Corey, there was no Damian Lillard in this one.
Yeah, they got it, went out there and got it done without Dame Dolla. Dame Dolla has kind of been a little bit beat up in and out of the lineup so far this season. So CJ McCollum getting it done, dropping 27 for them. So, and then McCollum's 11-19 from the field. So tougher without Dame, but they're still getting it done.
Well, I think you were correct yesterday morning. You know, it's nice to know when you have a guy you can just plug in when you know the other guy's not going to be in there. And especially with basketball, those last couple of minutes and having to, you know, see who's definitely going to be in or out. You know, that's the difference.
And that was the deal with Shabazz Napier last night. Played 34 minutes in this win against OKC. Put up a 21-point effort with 5 rebounds, a couple of assists, a couple of steals. CJ McCollum led the way. He had 27 points with 7 assists and 3 rebounds. And my man Nurkic only played 23 minutes because he was in foul trouble, but had 20-8. As a Nurkic owner, I'm going to take that.
Yeah, I've never really been into Nurkic, but he can play. Yeah, he's got some game with him.
Yeah, he's good.
I was watching this game a little bit last night. He can ball a little bit.
Yeah, he's good.
A little something.
Only 23 minutes of action, though.
How old is this dude?
How old is Nurkic? He's young.
Young dude.
23, I guess.
23 years old.
The answer is good. 23 years old.
He's got a lot of learning to do, but salary.
Well, since the trade over from Denver to Portland, he's been a lot better. When Lillard's not playing, he becomes more of a focal point in the offense, and it gets better for him.
Yeah, shout out to Dame Dolla.
On the other side of the court, you had the OKC Thunder, led by Russell Westbrook, 22-12-9 for him. 2 blocks, 3 steals, and a full line, obviously.
He's missing that triple-double.
He did have 6 turnovers, went 7 of 20 from the field, Matt.
Yeah, look, it's Russell. It's every time I watch this team or think about this team, I think of what could have been. But, look, he's the guy there that's got to lead this team, whether you like it or not, in my opinion. He's just too good.
As we saw earlier in the year, he's trying to be a lot more passive, get people involved, and they were really losing. They pick it up as of late, although they lost this one. Melo, 8 of 17 for 19-6. Paul George, 8 of 18 for 22-4. Corey, it looks like they all basically took the same number of shots. 17 for Melo, 18 for PG, 13, and then 20 for Russell Westbrook.
That's not going to be the case. It's always going to be Russell Westbrook taking the lead in that. It's interesting to see how this team shakes out. They're starting to play a little bit better now. I wouldn't be surprised if Paul George's move before the All-Star.
Really, you think they just give it up?
Well, Paul George's not going to resign with this team.
No, he's not going to stay here.
Yeah, I think the Curry's right on that aspect. But you also got to give a team when you add in these two pieces, you got to give them a ton to gel and all that. I mean, you always hear whatever sport it is, they had all these big signings and stuff. You do need to play together. And look, you got Westbrook who wants to do it all. You got Melo who. He's mellow. He wants to shoot.
He wants to get it all. He wants to do it all too.
So you know it does take time. And look, even if they flip him and they're able to improve their team, you know, in a different area, you know, that could be a good thing.
What's really interesting to me is the kind of view that Victor Oladipo is having for Indiana, and he couldn't do anything next to Russell Westbrook, right? He took a major backseat. Now he's leading an Indiana team that's one of the more surprising teams in the NBA.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, but how good, I don't think they remain that good also, so I think they're off to a start that we like to see, kind of a surprise, but I don't know, it's still something about them. You know what it is? Might just be me. They're not fun to watch.
They're not fun to watch.
They're not fun to
watch. They've gotten more fun with Nate McMillan as the head coach, but they're not fun. I agree with that.
No, they're not fun.
No.
Yeah, I mean, there's just certain teams I look at. I go back to the offseason, like the L.A. Clippers and with Blake Griffin. Like, they kind of had to sign him, but I think they were better off if they could have moved on or traded, you know, did like a sign-and-trade.
Well, he was always
the one. I'm about to say something. Go ahead.
He was the one that I thought was going to go to OKC. I thought Blake was the guy that ends up in OKC.
I can see that.
He was a better fit for playing with Russell Westbrook.
Sure, yeah, because he's quiet, you know what I'm saying, and he can just be, like, pushed around. So that was fine for Russ. Speaking of... who are we talking about?
We're talking about
the Clippers.
The Clippers, yeah.
How much power does Doc Rivers have?
I believe he's still a president and general manager.
They don't have to fire him.
They are 100%.
I agree with
they got to fire him. They got to get rid of him. They got to strip that power, make him just the head coach, but then he's got to go.
100%.
Is Doc Rivers a thing? Or did he just have, like, the big three and then that was it? Or is he a thing?
I don't think he was a bad coach.
Honestly, I think he had the big three, and that was it.
Yes.
Yeah, so I thought he was a bad coach in Orlando.
Uh-huh.
And then he gets hired by Boston. He had a terrible team. He had Ray Allen and Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett all in their prime. And there is something to be said for managing all their egos, Rajon Rondo as well.
Yeah.
Like, there's something to be said for winning that. Like, he won the championship for real.
I think you're being a little harsh.
Other than that, underwhelmed every year.
I don't think he should be like the supreme ruler.
The president, the general manager, and the owner, and everything else. Like, he's got that full title out there, and he's not doing nothing.
No.
He's not getting nothing done. That team has been terrible.
For
the most part. They first-round exit in the playoffs, and they'll be that way again this year, even if they even make it. But they're going to go into Golden State tonight, and my Dubs are going to drop the hammer on them, probably beat them by 30. Doc Rivers has got to give. Does that dude have the courage to fire Doc Rivers though?
Steve Ballmer?
Yeah,
I think so. He doesn't care.
He could do it. I mean, I don't think he has somebody lined up. I think that's the
next thing. That's the thing about it is like if he sits to sit down and think about it, he might be like, you know what? What's the bottom line? Are we in the green? Okay, mm-hmm. Fine, Doc. Exactly. You keep doing it.
I don't think that Ballmer needs to do that, right? Like when you're worth that much money.
But I will say this on that point you're making.
Yeah.
You're making a valid point. But look, when you're a businessman,
yeah,
you look at that bottom line. I don't care what it is, what you own, you want to be profitable. You know, maybe sometimes you have a pet project, or at a certain age, you'll see these owners, like the guy in Detroit, Mike Ilitch, when he wanted to see a World Series before he died.
Yeah.
He was willing to pay everybody and open up the bank. But for the most part, people that are successful business people want to see a profit.
Yeah, you see, and my thing is the Clippers, they play in Staples Center, you know, so the ticket's a little bit cheaper than the Lakers, so my guess is they got some talent on that team that can draw. You can go to a game with a person that's not into basketball and they say, oh, that's Blake Griffin. So they have that aspect going for them. But in NBA circles, this is not working.
No.
Is Ballmer going to be able to pull the trigger?
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if he does know and care about it enough to be like, I got to get Doc out of here.
I think so. I think the first step has to be stripping of one of the titles, whether it's president/GM and coach. Like, this doesn't work. It never works. How often do we see somebody other than Bill Belichick be a coach and general manager and it work? Never. Ever.
It never does work. And, I don't know.
I mean, I think there's just too much to do.
Yeah, but I say it's too much to do.
Like, even basketball with the sabermetrics and that, you know, there's just so much going on. Just managing the ego.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I know the NBA has done a better job with the back-to-back games and, you know, the four games and five nights. They've scaled that back a bit. But still, there's a lot of games compacted in a short period of time.
And we'll continue to have that discussion because, like, it's also to be said, like, the us against them mentality of, like, in the locker room, it's our sacred place, but you're the guy that can trade you sitting next to you.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing about it is, exactly, that's why I'm like, I don't, that's too much for him, and he's not doing a good job with it. And you got to run the day-to-day operations of the team and coach the team.
Right.
It's too much. You're literally on the road with the team.
Like I said,
what's going on back at the Clip joint?
Right. The best case scenario for the Clippers is to miss the playoffs and get lucky in the lottery.
They're not going to be bad enough.
I know.
They're not going to be bad enough. For Doc, like I said, the only one that comes to mind for me that it really works for is Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
You know, other than that, it really doesn't work. Doesn't work.
I know we're talking about basketball, but I forgot to mention this. Well, I didn't find out about it until after the program was over. And I think it might have been made a mention yesterday on a couple of the shows, but shout out to Rich Sermonello. Excellent job by Rich Sermonello. Rich Sermonello said that he would not be surprised if the backup quarterback came into this game for Alabama because he didn't think they was going to be able to move the football. That was unbelievable foreshadowing there.
That is an excellent.
He was right on it with Tua.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Back to the NBA. And one more game from last night. I wanted to mention quickly. The Mavericks defeated Orlando in a rare win for Dallas. 114-99.
A rare win for Mark Cuban.
114-99. The Magic are also terrible, which it frustrates me because I feel like the Magic always has so much talent, but they're just not able to win.
Can't put it together. They need that one big piece.
They do.
And they haven't been able to find that piece yet. They got some nice complimentary pieces, but they're going to need like a mega trade to pull this thing together.
As you mentioned earlier, if they were to trade George, would something work out with the Magic?
I don't think he wants to go to Orlando.
Yeah, he's going to want to play for somebody.
He's going to play for the Lakers.
He wants to play for the Lakers.
Yeah, he wants to be part of the Ball of Bread.
Except Jake wants to be part of it.
Yeah, Jake can't stand him. Jake can't stand him. Who else? A couple of people that can't stand him. But Jake
can't stand him either.
Yeah.
I can't stand him either. I just ignore him.
Yeah, but Jake is like active really anger. Can't stand him. Yeah.
It was funny though, seeing on Twitter in the timeline. LiAngelo's first shot.
It was LaMelo. It was LaMelo's first shot is what it was. We'll talk about the balls coming up in a few moments. Aaron Gordon missed the team buster. Finally, he came off the bench, had 19-8. Mario Hezonja has actually given you back some fantasy value in recent weeks.
Who?
Mario Hezonja, former top 10 pick for Orlando.
I don't remember him as the king coming out in the draft.
He was picked. So Porzingis came, Porzingis went, and he was
same
the other
class.
Guy.
Okay, cool.
He was the other guy. And Hezonja has always been bad.
Yeah,
and
he's played 27 minutes last
he's
night.
He's getting better.
14 points.
He's getting
better.
He's
becoming more acclimated with the NBA game. I'm looking at this Orlando Magic roster.
It's bad.
This is disgusting.
Yeah, it's bad.
This is disgusting.
Mo Spates, DJ Augustine, they lost. Look at Dallas's roster, the team that won. It's not much better. Look, Dirk's really had a nice year. He's at 20 points. Dennis Smith, 20-7. Hattie Bones, 15-6-6. Well, what about Matthews? Had 16 as well for Dallas. We'll talk a little bit about the big ball of brand on the other side of the break. It's Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
On the NBA slate tonight, you got close to a full slate. 11 games on the schedule in the NBA tonight. Some of the best plays to me, as I take an early look around for tonight's DFS slate. I know we talked about Eric Bledsoe yesterday. You're always concerned about the injury. Ooh, sorry. But for the Milwaukee starting point guard, playing a game with a high implied total of 114 against Orlando, and facing Orlando, a team that played in Dallas just last night. You got to like Eric Bledsoe tonight, point guard of Milwaukee against Orlando.
Yeah, it's kind of early.
I'm trying to take a look at this.
I'm trying to take a look at it right now, right quick, and see. I like that
$7,000 on DraftKings.
I like that Bledsoe call. That's one that jumps out right away. Mm-hmm. To continue to look at the schedule, I think it's I'm just trying to see if I can find.
Well, I have a couple more I like.
Go ahead. Yeah, let me know.
I like Jamal Murray against Atlanta tonight. I think that's another implied total that's very, very high at 112.5. The Atlanta, mediocre at guarding the point guard position.
Yeah, especially on the road. I like that call, especially with Atlanta being on the road. Mm-hmm.
So I like Jamal Murray. And third, probably for me, would be Kemba tonight against Dallas. Again, second end of back-to-back
and,
for Dallas.
And obviously, Kemba at home is always a good play when
correct.
He's at home. That's a 7 p.m. tip-off. I would also look at Giannis tonight, too. He might be your big ticket guy.
Yeah, I think Milwaukee is your big ticket item here against Orlando. You want a lot of Milwaukee.
Do we have a point spread for that game yet?
Milwaukee, I do have an over-under for the game. Give me 1 second. The over-under for Milwaukee and Orlando is, Milwaukee's a 10-point favorite. The over-under is 218.
Ten is still kind of that risky zone, because if they get to blowing them out, you could see Giannis sitting, but at 10, I think you go pay up for Giannis.
218 is the over-under.
Oh, that's a big number right
big
there.
Number, yeah.
What about the Knicks with the Bulls coming to town? I mean, Porzingis, I'm assuming, always.
Yeah, the Knicks pace is too slow.
I think we're also waiting to find out who's going to be playing this one before you.
Yeah, that's why. For me.
The other highest implied over-under, Corey, is 215.5. That's Atlanta and Denver. That's why I suggested Jamal Murray in that one here for Denver. Also, remember, Nikola Jokic is coming off that triple-double just a couple nights ago.
Yeah, so I think that could be an option that you can get into also. But by the time they get to 6 p.m. this even time on the East Coast, Tony and Spittin' Speeds to be able to have this all figured out and broken down for you on lineup lock. But they're just jumping out at it, definitely that game with Milwaukee and Orlando. You want to hammer that one if you're playing DFS tonight. and obviously the Hawks and the Nuggets too.
Absolutely, those are the two games.
Is Kevin Durant gonna be back tonight?
You want to make sure you get a lot of Kevin Durant could be back tonight. Absolutely, he didn't play. He did not play on Monday. There's a chance he plays tonight. Damian Lillard not expected to play tonight for the Blazers.
Yeah, so you got to go back to Shabazz tonight.
You got to go back to Shabazz tonight, indeed.
Damian Lillard beat up this season.
For the Blazers, in a good game against the Rockets, we don't have the implied totals yet because they're waiting on Dame status, obviously. But if you can go back to Napier tonight if there's no Lillard. Also, still off the board, Vegas lines, and the schedule is the Clippers because they're wondering about Blake Griffin's status. Clippers and the Dubs, as you said, Corey.
Yeah, Clippers and the Dubs in this one. That's the last game of the night. This is more than likely no Kevin Durant. I think this could be a good night for Clay, but this is I'll be very careful with this game because anytime Golden State has a chance to drag the Clippers, they normally do that. They could win by 30 tonight.
Yeah, it seems like a perfect time to rest Blake Griffin. Not to rush him back.
It's a good point there as well. One more game I did want to mention before I moved on. Quick,
this is bad scheduling. Portland and Houston should be on television tonight.
Okay.
That should be on television instead over Oklahoma and Minnesota.
It's a fun one.
I mean, and Oklahoma and Minnesota is going to be a good one,
so
too.
So that was the last game I wanted to mention was Oklahoma City and Minnesota. Minnesota team that's getting better. Could have tried to end the largest playoff drought in the NBA currently.
Yeah.
13 years has been since the Timberwolves got the playoffs. They're on the way there right now.
I don't have a problem with with them putting Minnesota.
Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, you got, I just kind of feel like
I would got a good, exciting team.
Let's just say Harden was playing and Dame was playing. Then I think that would Chris Paul. I think that game would have had more star power to it. But I mean, Oklahoma and Minnesota is not terrible. it's not Atlanta and Denver.
I'm absolutely there. So there you go. That's kind of a look. Early look here at the DFS slate tonight. Lineup Locked Live, Tony Cincotta, Dean Martinez. They'll have you covered from 6 p.m. on to try to make sure you get the best in your lineups.
At 3 o'clock start tomorrow. What's that about?
It could be London, potentially.
Oh, that's right. The Celtics are in London. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And then Monday, Martin Luther King, you'll get
every game
in there. Yeah. Knicks probably play at noon, right? So then you're early there?
Yeah, the Knicks... every time you think about Martin Luther King basketball, you always think about
the Garden
at the Trent Tucker hitting that shot. Oh no, the Knicks play at 3 o'clock at the Nets, so they doing that.
That's fun.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Knicks at Nets.
We should go to that game.
They're trying to get some people.
Tickets, by the way, for that one, Corey, is actually amazing. I'm going to read this out loud.
That's BS.
Hold on, let me read it out loud. So on Monday, Martin Luther King Day, right? You get Charlotte and Detroit, $13 they could start out. Toronto and Philly, $8. Milwaukee and Washington, $16. San Antonio and Atlanta, $14. Miami and Chicago, $21. Los Angeles and Memphis, $11. Sacramento and OKC, $12. The main event of Golden State and Cleveland.
That's different.
I'll take that out.
Yeah.
Indiana and Utah, $12. Houston and LA, the Clips, $15. New York and Brooklyn, $69.
That's not right. Tonight you can go to Brooklyn and see a game for $10. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? And the Knicks come to see you. Knicks? Yeah, why Knicks fans can't go see the Knicks in peace? When I was a Knicks fan in the 90s,
the rent is too damn high.
Yeah. What happened to that guy?
I don't know. He got evicted, I guess.
But listen, Golden State and Cleveland, both games before the All-Star break.
Yeah.
I like that.
How come?
What is the price on the Golden State?
$140.
$140.
I'm just curious to know.
Yeah, that's where But you got to pay for that. That's a premium.
If you're going to go see the best and all that, and you can afford it, obviously, then why not?
Yeah, that's a premium right there because of that matchup. But I like that they got both their games out the way before the second half of the season start. So when you're going down the stretch and trying to get that position battling, you don't have to worry about a game against,
your
arch rivals.
Players.
Yeah, off your wrestling. Yeah,
I know the NBA tries to, which is a good job by them. What they did with fantasy and trying to align everything and make it, because I think it's good for them, and I think that was one of the better things that they've done of late.
Yeah. No, they did a good job at that. Mm-hmm. I think Silver's a good commissioner. I think he's going to be commissioner.
You said, I mean, if you see what the NBA and MLB are doing with that Indiana state law with gambling, they're going to get a piece of this if this bill passes. For the integrity fee is what they labeled it. So I got to read up more on that, but I think, gambling is the wave of the future. You have to be on it.
I want to get one thing with the balls. I don't want to do it every day, but I think when that you have to when there's a story here. That's what we've talked about, right? Yeah. Like, you don't just talk about LeVar Ball for the sake of talking about LeVar Ball. But when there's a story, I think it's important to bring it up.
I don't think you can ignore it. Like Jake was saying yesterday, that it's not newsworthy.
It is newsworthy, some of this stuff. What I'm going to bring up is newsworthy, in my opinion. Because when 100,000 people watch LiAngelo and LaMelo in Lithuania, that's newsworthy. Listen, it's not a million people. It's not 2 million or 3 million. It's 100,000.
You ever watched a game in Lithuania before?
No one's watched a game in Lithuania
before. I can't even pronounce the damn thing. Right. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You don't watch this. Nobody cares about this.
So I think that's very
interesting. Now you know them. You watch the live stream. You know the team's colors. You know who some of the other players on the team are. Yeah, this is newsworthy, and it's not because it's Lithuania. It's because it's the ball, the big ball of bread.
I can see us taking a road trip out there.
Absinthe.
Having some of that, tripping out, watching these guys play.
ESPN got a dude over there. If I was that guy, I'd be like, are you kidding me? I got to go sit over here for 6-7 months? They got a dude over there, so yeah, it's newsworthy. And how do they get that much branding on a team where they play for is interesting to me, too. That's odd.
Like you said, it had to be part of the deal to get them there. That was part of the package.
Maybe so, yeah.
So that was one thing with the Balls. The other interesting part was you talked about Rick Carlisle. You had a strong opinion about Rick Carlisle and the Balls earlier this week. Well, Stan Van Gundy kind of chimed in with Rick Carlisle. And I thought this was really interesting, too.
Steve Kerr, too.
Steve Kerr would give a really long, thoughtful response.
You know, that's how Kerr do.
That's what he does.
Steve Kerr can run for president.
So his dad was like an ambassador and big in politics. So he moved around constantly when he was younger.
Yeah.
And he's actually spoken on podcasts. He doesn't want to do politics.
Yeah, but he could.
He's a basketball coach. He's a good speaker. But Stan Van Gundy said, because of the way ESPN covers LeVar Ball and whatnot, and covers the Ball family, Stan Van Gundy, next week they have a Martin Luther King Day, I'm not sure. They have an ESPN game.
Oh, they certainly do.
And
on NBA TV.
Okay, so at some point they're on ESPN. He's refusing to talk to the ESPN broadcast team in a pre-production meeting, like they do with every coach and every team and every sport, before the game.
And
he's refusing to do the in-game interview with Doris Burke, assuming it's Doris Burke, during the game. They're required by the NBA to do this interview. That's the only reason Pop does it. You're required to do it, and he refuses because of their coverage, the way they cover the Ball family.
I hate the in-game. If I was a coach, I'm like, get the hell out of here.
Right.
You know, I'm like if somebody came into your job, you know,
you're
in your office doing your work, and I don't know. I'm not a fan of it. I know they're looking to get bigger access, but nobody's giving you anything. Nobody is going to give you anything in that interview. I think it's a waste of time.
At some point, the NBA is going to step in and do something about this right here. This is their way of retaliating against ESPN, but I just don't. My thing is, why are they getting so upset? This is newsworthy stuff. They have to cover it. I understand him taking a shot at the head coach. I understand. You don't want to do that. But by the same token, you're going to say that, okay, you shouldn't talk about what goes on inside that locker room. But you got people that's sitting up here commenting on how he's raising his children every day. So what's the difference? You feel what I'm saying?
They're giving him more power, basically.
Yeah, they really are.
The more you talk about him, the more you put him into the...
So this is the coach's ways of fighting back, is to be quiet about it. But ESPN is going to continue to cover the Ball family.
Absolutely.
They're not going to stop.
Because it's news. All right.
And so is Robert Wattel.
We're going to take a break here. The New York Daily News is reporting an update on the Giants coaching situation. So we're going to get into that when we come back. I'm not sure if it's real, but we'll see. It's the New York Daily News reporting it. We'll give you that update when we come back here on Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
So the New York Daily News reports that all signs point, this is the headline, all signs point to Patriots defensive coordinator Matt Patricia becoming the next head coach of the New York Giants.
He didn't take the other gig?
So I'll read you what it says. A rocket scientist has blasted his way into the lead to the Giants' next head coach. Daily News has learned all signs are pointing to Matt Patricia, although the Daily News has written a few times in the last couple of days, it is not a done deal with the Detroit Lions, as several reports have claimed, and the Giants, Lions, and Cardinals were interested. In fact, their indications are he prefers the Giants to the Lions.
Prefers the Giants to the Lions, obviously coming out that Bill Belichick staff. Belichick is probably talking up that Giant gig.
Probably so.
You get involved with the Mariners and stuff like that. You never can go wrong there. This is not that unattractive job to me, though. A situation where you have a 50-year-old quarterback who has a season where he threw 30 interceptions, I just can't see it.
I could see it because of the Giants,
Sure.
What it comes with it, the prestige of that job. I think if you're looking at it from the defensive guy, seeing he has better defensive pieces in place here, and if they can get a quarterback or draft a Bill that way. But I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why Patricia is such a hot ticket.
I don't know why either. I don't know why either. I can't see why this guy, because he's a Patriot coordinator, that's never really worked before.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? He sat on the sidelines learning to Bill Belichick for all of these years, but we've never seen that manifesting anything. That team doesn't have issue on defense. That team's problem is offense. Offensively, you're going to draft a young quarterback. Who's going to bring him and raise this young quarterback? Matt Patricia?
So the Daily News?
Are you kidding me?
So the Daily News brought up the potential offensive coordinator could be Brian Daboll, offensive coordinator for Alabama, who was formerly quarterbacks coach out there in New England.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that being a situation right there. But if you want to go down that route and pick off those legendary Belichick Saban tree, so yeah, it can happen. As a Dallas Cowboy fan, I'm satisfied with the hire.
Who don't you want the Giants to hire?
I don't want the Giants to hire Josh McDaniels.
Why?
I think Josh McDaniels is going to be successful in this go around.
Yeah, I'll give McDaniels another shot without Tebow.
Yeah,
you know, if he's not tied to Tebow, I'd want to see what he does. But I mean, look, if he's coming in, if they're going to go with the defensive guy, I want to know who's, you know, I mean, you're taking a guy from Bama who's the quarterback coach there. I'm not excited about that. Look, anything's better than Jeff Fisher, though.
Again, that was never actually an option. This is just created by Corey and Matt, this whole Jeff Fisher thing.
Well, I mean, and Nick Saban said he had no interest in the Giants.
Nick Saban did say he has no interest in the job. We'll see if either the Giants or the Lions wind up with Patricia. Of course, there is no done deal. It cannot be a done deal until the Patriots are eliminated from the postseason, which may be a while.
Yeah, the Patriots, they could be looking at sometime in February before they go on from the postseason.
Yeah, exactly, which means the Giants won't have their head coach until then. So,
The Giants will wait until after the postseason.
If Patricia's their guy, he will.
Who reported that?
Yeah, you see, the one thing I don't understand is why can't they just name him and let him coach the
rest of the season? Yeah, it makes no sense. Like they do in college. Pat Leonard reported that.
Okay.
Pat Leonard, New York Daily News.
Yeah.
He has covered the Giants for a while.
I mean, because these guys were taking interviews and all that anyway. So, I don't know.
It's unfair to them.
Yeah. And for the team, if you want to go this route, hire him, say, finish up the playoffs, good luck to you. We'll see you, you know, February 7th.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't disagree with that.
You got to be careful. You don't want a situation like Kyle Shanahan had last year, where I thought Shanahan was going to get fired from the 49ers.
Before he got hired.
Yeah, I thought he was going to get fired before he took it.
So that was actually 2 years in a row that happened, right? Because last year was Kyle Shanahan that took the job and went over to San Francisco. The year before was Dan Quinn with Seattle.
That's right.
Who was the head coach of Atlanta. But wow. Wasn't, you know.
So let's see. So who's next?
Matt Patricia.
Yeah. But he would have to be the head coach of
the Giants.
The team that lose the Super Bowl.
There you go.
Don't know. It's too confusing. Yeah. I'll figure it out.
Well, there you go. Matt Patricia. The Patriots could lose the Super Bowl.
That's right. You're right.
I don't know why you're so confused about this.
Because the Patriots are always there.
They always win.
Yeah, so Matt Patricia.
Or Josh McDaniels.
Or Josh McDaniels. Mm-hmm. I think Josh McDaniels wants the Indianapolis job.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I think so. But I think he wants to know that homeboy is going to be there.
I'd be scared about that. I
want to see some x-rays.
MRIs. I want to talk to the doctor in the Netherlands where he was.
The only other thing would be is if he took the job and say they know Luck is not going to be the same.
Right.
And then they went with a quarterback there and he got to choose his quarterback.
Maybe that could be the case also, but yeah, if I'm McDaniels, I want to see the x-rays. I want to talk to everybody. I want the inside injuries app. You know what I'm saying? I want to, like you said, I want to fly out there with him. I want to test the arm. I want to play catch with him before I sign on the dotted line. Because if they don't have Luck, They don't have nothing. If they don't have Luck, that becomes the worst job.
It becomes a brutal job.
You got to deal with Jim Mercer.
Unless he really likes Jacoby Brissett, like he had him in New England. Just saying.
I would think probably the next owner that's forced to sell a team would be Jim Mercer.
I can see that happening. I can see that happening. I can see that happening. And it'll be for something wild, too. It'll be something crazy. Like, yeah. What? He did what?
Exactly. He's like, I'm just going to sell. Don't even print
yeah,
the
don't, yeah, don't worry about it. I don't feel like, oh, did he?
That's awesome. One more thing I wanted to mention here on the show. I'm kind of going to do this from time to time. It's like an on this day in sports history type thing.
I like that.
So it's on this day in sports history. Did
I'm
you know?
To think what could happen today. It's a Super Bowl?
There was not a Super Bowl. There was a very famous NFL play, though, that happened 35 years ago today.
What year would that be?
35 years ago today?
Mm-hmm.
The catch?
The catch.
Jesus.
There it is.
Son of a gun.
Dwight Clark makes the catch 35 years ago today. 21 years ago.
It's very painful.
I'm not even a Cowboy
very,
fan or a Giants fan.
Very painful moment.
Exactly I'm sure it wasn't
very
a painful.
That's when all. That's where it all started.
Mm-hmm. 21 years ago today, your boy, another Cowboy reference here, your boy Jimmy Johnson
was fired.
Became the head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, so there you go.
That didn't work out so well.
No, it did not. He didn't have no quarterback.
He didn't have Jerry Jones either.
No, he didn't have Jerry Jones. Didn't have
Troy
no quarterback.
Aikman or Emmett
His
Smith
last coaching job. He never got back into coaching.
Never.
Went into broadcasting and was like, forget coaching.
Well, it made sense, right?
Like Key West is beautiful.
Yeah, you know what? I like living in Miami. I like working once a week for like 17 weeks. Yep. And then I relax.
Yeah, I don't begrudge anybody that does that.
Yeah, nah,
that's why I can't believe Gruden came back. Like, why does he want to deal with this crap?
Gruden liked to wake up early and look at tape and stuff like that.
Jimmy Johnson just likes to lay.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson likes to chill. Jimmy Johnson.
I think maybe if somebody had presented him with $100 million.
It'd have been a different story.
Yes,
it would have definitely been a different story. But the U, more famous for the U or more famous for the Cowboys?
I think he became more famous for the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. I think the Cowboys, too. I think it really depends on who you ask.
Like, yeah, that's true.
You know, when
yeah.
they were growing up. Like, you're a Cowboys fan. I imagine you expect, you think of him as a Cowboys coach.
I look at him, but the U, he was very big
yeah, but then
the
they
U,
had
too.
Eric
he, in the U, he created that culture in the U. Like, he wanted them to be like that.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a great documentary.
The famous birthday today, on January 10th, goes out to George Foreman.
Oh, the grill guy.
So it had me thinking. That's the best thing ever.
Yep.
So you bring that up.
Yeah.
And I was coming working on the rundown last night, and you brought up exactly what I wanted you to bring up, the grill guy.
Yeah.
So I asked Judy, I go, when you think of George Foreman, like, what do you think of it? The dude that's always wearing the chef's hat on the commercials.
Yeah, with
the selling grills. I'm like, right. Do you know, like, what he is really famous for?
She was like, no.
She goes, is he a wrestler?
This was
close. No. I go, no. Oh, you're right. He's a football player.
Like, no.
No. Basketball? No. No, I go, he's a boxer. See, I knew he was an athlete.
Yeah, yeah. George Foreman. People won't remember him.
Yeah, it's like, go Google George Foreman back
yeah,
in the day.
Yeah, he had some classic
yes,
heavyweight
I mean,
bouts.
He's a classic fighter, of course. Mm-hmm. Very, very famous boxer.
He's a stand up in the corner because if he sat down, he might not be able to get up.
But today, in 2018,
the grill
when
guy.
You hear the name of George Foreman, you think the grill guy.
Yeah, so George Foreman really changed his M.O. Sort of like Ice Cube, you know what I'm saying?
Perfect example, Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Like if I tell you LL Cool J, he's the guy that licks his lips at the Grammys.
Yeah, exactly. My children would know Ice Cube as the guy to make the movies.
The funny movies.
Me and me, the gangster rapper. Yes.
You know Ice Cube, the guy that's hilarious in the Channing Tatum movies.
Yeah, exactly. But we know him as something
hardcore
different.
Hardcore rapper.
Yeah, gangster rapper.
I mean, LL back in the day was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you
current brand of LL.
You think, you
yeah,
think
this,
of...
Yeah, this is a new LL is watered down.
You think of even Dr. Dre.
Mm-hmm.
Snoop Dogg.
Dre.
Snoop Dogg's the funny guy that just smokes
yeah,
a lot.
Uncle Snoop. Yeah, Uncle Snoop that smoked pot.
Right, that's what Uncle Snoop is.
Yeah, Uncle Snoop was 187. Uncle Snoop was 187 on the undercover.
Isn't that crazy?
As people, you got to rebrand yourself. Always try to stay on the move. Always rebrand yourself. Like Scott's becoming the king, Scott Angle. You've known him for years as the fantasy sports guy. Now he's becoming this video game savant.
Perhaps the most famous. Perhaps the most famous one is in other than George Foreman is Magic Johnson, right? Like
yeah.
Magic Johnson, the way what he has done
Movie theaters.
Movie theaters. The best Fridays in LA, as we found out earlier on the show. That's Magic Johnson, who, and I, so I asked Judy about him, and she's just like, listen, I know Magic Johnson is a very famous basketball player for the Lakers, but like, the first thing I think about him is he co-owns the Dodgers.
Well, you don't even think about HIV with Magic Johnson. No.
Which is incredible.
Doesn't even come up.
I was about to say the man defeated AIDS.
Yeah, it doesn't come up. Like,
but it's quite incredible. You don't think of HIV.
No.
That when I was growing up, like, that was the thing I knew about Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
Was that I knew when I was growing up, because I grew up like, almost an era right after Magic.
Yeah.
He was the AIDS guy.
Yeah.
And now, 20 years later, it's not even the thought for these people.
Yeah, Magic was the only person I ever saw get diagnosed with HIV.
Get healthier.
Put on 100 pounds.
Get healthier.
Which is incredible for him. And, you know, all good stuff to Magic Johnson. But the way he has, his image has changed from...
And Magic Johnson is a philanthropist.
Exactly. Yeah, professional philanthropist.
He's a philanthropist.
And makes a lot of money doing it.
Yes, he does.
So, I just thought that was incredible also for George Foreman and for Magic Johnson. So there you go. That's your day in history here on January 10th.
I need the Dodgers.
Oh, he's got a piece of that too, right?
Yeah, I don't
that's
know.
That's what I said. Corner of the Dodgers.
Yeah. They always have him around.
Mark Walters, the owner, but the Magic Johnson has a piece of the Dodgers, mm-hmm. and now, of course, runs the Lakers as well. So there you go.
Also, remember the big baller brand.
We will come back and wrap up the show and talk to the all-in kid, Jake Seely, on the other side. Roto Experts wraps up right after this.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Sussman back all by my lonesome because I'm now joined by the all-in kid, Jake Seely. What's going on, Jakey?
What's up, Greg? Video's back. Yay!
It's great to see you, man. You look looking good, looking fresh back home.
Yeah, back home. The computer's working. Everything's good. Sussman and Seely for the last 5 minutes.
There you go. You didn't even need to get a new computer. How about that?
No, that's the good part about it. I spent like $60.
Beautiful.
That's all it took. Yeah.
That's awesome. You published your way too early 2018 fantasy football rankings, available now at rotoexperts.com. So if you're interested in doing that, check it out. You also ran our in-house mock draft. We talked about that a little bit earlier on, at least the first two rounds. We'll get to rounds 3 and 4 coming up tomorrow on the show. So I look forward to doing that. How did you feel like your team came out?
I thought that was okay. I can tell you right now, if this is how things are going to play out similarly, I know this is a long way to go, but if it's a similar fashion by the time next August rolls around, I don't want the number 5 spot.
But as you said, so much can change. So much will change coming up by the time August rolls around. And I look forward to doing these kind of mocks month after month. You know? That's all.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, we're going to have things change to the combine when people overreact to people having great days or poor days like Dalvin Cook last year. Everybody needs to keep that in mind. And then we're going to remember the NFL draft is going to change things depending on where these people land, as I mentioned in the rankings that you talked about. So a lot of things are going to change before you even get to training camp.
So the like I said, I'm interested in going over the third and fourth round in tomorrow's show, but a lot of what can change is coaching staffs. And that's what I guess the three of us here at this table have harped on, is that we want to pay attention to coaching staffs moving forward after such Steve Sarkisian and Kyle Shanahan and whatnot. And the latest coaching rumor actually involves the New York Giants, where the New York Daily News reported just a few minutes ago that Matt Patricia is the person that all signs point to becoming the next head coach of the Giants. Of course, we had seen Patricia linked to Detroit as recently as yesterday. They said it wasn't a done deal. Now, although the Giants are interviewing Eric Studesville today, which will be the last head coaching interview, it does seem like Patricia is now the favorite to coach the New York Giants.
I don't know if I buy that. All this favorite talk. I mean, Wilkes was supposed to be the favorite, mm-hmm. and they let him leave town to go to Arizona.
Yep.
I don't know if I buy this Patricia talk, because I don't think the Lions would have let Terrell Austin go to Cincinnati
right.
if they were really not set and knew that Patricia was signed. I mean, it could be possible, like it's college, like this kid signed a letter of intent, and then he backs out like late in the season like we've seen before, and maybe that's what it is. I just have a feeling that the Lions knew Patricia was coming. That's why they let Terrell Austin walk, because obviously you're going to let the defensive coordinator walk if you're bringing in a defensive-minded head coach to come in. So I think that's more telling than all these rumors saying, oh, this. Because, look, what was it, 2 weeks ago? You know this because you're a Giants fan. The Jim Schwartz was supposed to be the favorite from the jump
off. And he didn't get an interview.
Somebody else. Yeah, exactly. So I don't buy this whole favorites nonsense.
I think that's a great point Jake makes up, Matt. They probably don't let Terrell Austin just walk if – they didn't have their guy.
That's it. That sounds logical, and I'm still holding out hope that Jeff Fisher ends up with the Giants.
Enough of that. I also think, there's also a chance, and I know Terrell Austin was in Cincinnati, but because they haven't named their head coach, I mean, he could still be their head coach. Like, technically speaking, he could still be their head coach, and he has said, and they have said, if he gets the job, whatever, he'll leave Cincinnati and then go become the head coach. I seemingly doubt it. I also, Jake, other than Patricia, Terrell Austin, and Jim Bob Cooter, have the Detroit Lions interviewed anybody else?
No, and that's the other interesting part, is the Lions haven't been, at least if they have, it hasn't been reported.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody else has been talking about it. It's like they were in-house staff and Patricia, and that was the end of it. And that's all we heard, because it was the report that Patricia was going there, and then, like you said, Terrell Austin leaves, and all of a sudden it's just been quiet since. So it almost feels like the Lions are just in a holding pattern, because you know they can't hire anybody until the Patriots are done.
Right.
So I still think it is.
Okay.
I think that if I had to bet still as of today, and we have no idea, I still feel like it's going to be Wilkes and the like I said, Filippino.
Yeah. John D. Filippo.
Yesterday.
Like, why would anybody go after Kirby Smart?
Yeah, I think Kirby Smart. Lincoln Riley would be awesome.
You know, what he did in Georgia this season.
Yeah, I'm with you. But Jake, the good news is Carolina fired Mike Shula fast enough, and they're going to get Norv Turner before the Giants do.
Thankfully.
So all is right. Things are good. Jake Seeley will be back here on the Fantasy Frenzy, coming up next with Corey Parson and Matt Modica. My name is Greg Sussman. I'll see you later for the BFF. Roto Experts back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Eastern. Have a great day, everybody, and we will see you then. Bye-bye.